So all these things contribute to emotional, psychological, and biological dysregulation. Please don't base your scientific understanding and knowledge on a news story. They're normally bullshit. Intergenerational trauma, overly aggressive policing, surveillance. Hello again, mate. Welcome to episode 91 of Toy Division. This episode is another one that was on the Patreon, but it was a live Q&A, and it goes into stuff about childhood experiences, mental health, food and drink choices influencing our current mental health. If this is the first episode you've chosen to listen to, you might be thinking, I thought this was a fucking graffiti podcast. But the general theme of Toy Division is physical and mental health will make your graffiti writing career of all types longer, more fulfilling, and actually in general your lifestyle will be better. As I said on the last episode, I'm reading out the best 5-star review we've had in the last month, and this is from, I think the username on the Apple Podcast app is HHOSTTH, so that's their username. Lovely podcast, really has changed my perspective and helped me out. Appreciate it all. Keep it up, Toy Division team. Thanks, host, I think that would be. If you want to have your 5-star written review read out on a podcast episode, then go into Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star written review. Check us out on Instagram, Toy Division 2. That is Toy Division 2. Anyway, enough of my rambling. Let's jump straight in and please enjoy. The live Q&A, which supposedly is... God, this looks weird with this background, doesn't it? If we can sort this out. The live Q&A, as probably some of you who are watching this will have realised... Take that shot. As some of you will probably have realised... I'll just take this fucking virtual background off. This Patreon is coming to an end. Quick reasons as to why that's the case. Just to be really honest with you all, I was hoping it was going to get more popular and that it would grow, really. And it's actually been the opposite. It's got actually less patrons and stuff like that. So I thought, well, and in that text that I'd written, I did say, I don't feel like I was really meeting the extra benefits and whatnot. And people are like, oh, it doesn't matter. But there we go, just have a blur. It doesn't really matter, but this is weird. it doesn't really matter, but I guess it's this whole thing of just a blurred shape. I just haven't been able to dedicate the time and the effort. So this is going to be one of two more. And this is the other thing with live Q&A. There is no, I mean, we had one person in one of them, and it's not really live Q&A because no one else is in this. It's just me gibbering to myself. But I want to make sure that I fulfill all the promises I made. So this is going to be, there's going to be this one. There's going to be another one of these, half an hour long, and then there'll be one more bonus episode. So I can't say thank you enough for everyone, every single person that's a patron who supported us. I kind of doubted it was going to be as popular, and at first it looked really positive and it was growing in number. But the great thing is that as through this Patreon account, raised about $500, and literally all of that, so I've never actually gone into any of that money myself. I've left it sat there. All of that money will be funneled into the graffiti focused therapy service. So yeah, this is coming to an end, but every single dollar that any of you have donated will be going towards helping people to pay for supplies and space hire and things like that to give people the graffiti focused therapy service. So that's really exciting, and you should all give yourselves a pat on the back or a tap on the head or punch in the jaw or whatever. Anyway, so today we're going to go through a couple of concepts, and I'm just going to share my screen. Hope there's nothing too scary on my screen. Okay, so let's go through ACEs. Some of you might have heard of these. So ACEs is something which, well, let's just go through it. So three realms of ACEs. So ACEs Connection accelerates the global movement to prevent and heal adverse childhood experiences. That's what the acronym ACEs is about. And support communities to work collaboratively to solve our most intractable problems. Left unaddressed, toxic stress from ACEs, which is those adverse childhood experiences, harms children and families, organizations, systems, and communities, and reduces the ability of individuals and entitles to respond to stressful events with resiliency. This bloody mask is slipping off. You probably can't see me at the moment, then, can you? But anyway, the ACEs in these three realms intertwine throughout people's lives and affect the viability of organizations, systems, and communities. So let's have a look. Let's look at this bit here. Let's look at household. So just to let you know, just stop looking at the graph. I know it's difficult, but ACEs is adverse childhood experiences, which then can influence our physical and mental health, or I meant to say mental and physical health. Maybe look into ACEs studies. It was kind of the first time the medical system thought, oh, actually trauma and like the world can influence people's health. Oh, who'd have imagined it? We're not just all robots. So if you look household, it goes through incarcerated family member, divorce, homelessness, parental mental health, alcoholism and drug abuse, emotional and sexual abuse, domestic violence, physical and emotional neglect, bullying, maternal depression. So those are often seen as like the ACEs. They are seen as the things which, through a lot of study and research, have found that more likely to have chronic mental health issues, hardcore drug addictions, heart disease, diabetes, etc. And this is why I like this, the realms bit, because often those household ACEs are seen as the only thing. But as we know, the human being does not exist in a vacuum. So let's look at the number two. So we've got community. So you've got like lack of jobs, poor housing quality and affordability, substandard wages, poverty, violence, structural racism, poor water and air quality, lack of social capital and mobility, historical trauma. It's interesting how that's kind of like a little thing, but intergenerational and or historical trauma, normally due to the English or French or Portuguese or Spanish empires. And these days now more the empirical United States or Russia or whatever, and substandard schools. So all these things contribute to emotional, psychological and biological dysregulation. And again, over time, stress in small little amounts like a cold shower or doing some exercise or doing breath work or, you know, doing the Wim Hof style, short bits of stresses, well, not all stress is bad, but long-term chronic stress with all these other variables can really influence and affect your physical and mental health. And again, there is no biology without psychology and no psychology without biology, broken record. So environment, climate crisis, record heat and droughts, wildfires and smoke, record storms, flooding and mudslides, sea level rise. I'll be honest, I'm not a child, but I do find the climate crisis stuff really intense. I think the other thing that's important to do is also then step back and think, okay, there seems to be this panic about the climate crisis. I'm not saying it is or isn't real. I think it is real. But I always try and think, well, hang on, why am I thinking like I'm thinking? There seems to be very much this simplistic carbon, reduction of carbon. And the only thing we can do is reduce carbon without the thinking of actually what is that going to do to the environment in the long term. For example, as I've discussed on bonus episodes, only a plant-based diet. If you really look into the research, it's not actually a sustainable thing. You know, commercialized, industrialized food systems are pretty harmful to the environment. Now, the industrialized meat system is fucked, but an integrated regenerative agricultural system, how we used to live before it was all about more, cheap. Really look into, I would suggest checking out The Sacred Cow book by Rob Wolf and Denise, I can't remember the author's name. There's a really good Joe Rogan episode about that. and also environments. We've got natural disasters, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcano disruptions and tsunami earthquakes. The reason I'm mentioning all this is there are so many reasons as to why our physical and mental health at any age, but particularly in childhood, can then form how we feel as a human being and part of society as we get older. Because mental health is often viewed as this kind of, oh, well, this is the moment right now. Why do you feel like you feel? There's something wrong with your brain. There's a chemical imbalance. But that's a fucking cop-out, isn't it? Really? That's a massive cop-out. It's like if you got shit, racist, systemic, fucking poverty, generations of intergenerational trauma, overly aggressive policing, surveillance, being told you can or can't go to work because you do or don't get a medical treatment such as being immunized, things like that. That's traumatic. That is segregation. That is division. And toy division. It's pretty toy. Division is toy. We're in the metaverse now. You know, this idea that we're moving into the metaverse is going to be the way to solve society's problems. Personally, I think that's the fucking worst thing we can do. We don't need to be any more detached, any more living in like this big tech managed world. Technology was meant to free us and meant to give us more time, more space. It's actually just meant that we can just be worked harder and harder and harder and manipulated more and more and more. I believe the guy who pretty much invented the internet or was massively important in the development of it, he's not even dead yet. So I was going to say he's spinning in his grave, but my God, imagine this like freedom of information. Now it's just turned into what fucking Zuckerberg or Google or fucking Bill Gates decides. Also, as Joe Rogan did say on a recent episode of his podcast, Bill Gates, you look like shit. If you're going to be giving us advice on fucking healthy living, sort yourself out, mate. You look like shit, you rich prick. Anyway, you can tell I'm in a good mood tonight. All right, so let's have a look at some other stuff here. Let's look at some stuff on food on your mind. All right, so again, like I've said, food can be a fuck fest of the research is not always that solid, and people love to get into really good, like simplistic camps, like I'm keto or keto is the best, or which is basically low carb, predominantly protein and fats. But then there's even people that argue about, oh, traditional keto, which was used to treat epilepsy in kids in the 1920s who were drug resistant. Then you've got, well, protein rich. Then you've got vegetarian, you've got vegan, you've got all these things. Let's step back from that. Let's step back from this like simplistic, like this camp, that camp, this tribe, that tribe. And let's work out where we can find a common ground, because otherwise, what are we doing? We're just arguing with each other. What I would suggest is, so if you look here at the top of this, I'm just going to read it out. The science connecting certain foods to certain brain functions is highly intriguing, and then in brackets, and still evolving, which is what science is. Science is not, it's done. It's meant to be continuously changing and evolving. Test, retest, thesis. Not thesis, hypothesis. If I can pronounce things right. That's why any decision about certain treatments, which is what become very, it's following the science. There's many forms of science. There isn't just one religious, it's almost like turned to an ideological religion. Like, this is the science. All hail science. I'm a massive believer in science, but science is complex. There's many forms of science. There isn't just one pure form of science. So just keep that in your mind. And then some research using MRI scans to show how different types of food activate the human brain. Other studies match lifelong eating habits to brain aging, whether memory and mental processes stay strong, or if signs of dementia develop. Not just single foods or food groups, entire eating plans like the MIND and Mediterranean diets are showing real brain benefits. So be careful with terms like the Mediterranean diet. The Mediterranean is a big area. That's Italy, Spain, Greece. They eat a lot of different types of foods in those areas. So when you say the Mediterranean, that's often then used as an American Dietetics Association, which has a massive skew towards don't ever eat meat. But then it's like, oh, it's all about grains and carbs and things like that. So this is where it can get muddy. But let's just have a look at some of these foods. And I think these are pretty good. This is why I chose this. Leafy greens. So it contains magnesium and folic acid to produce key brain chemicals. Quite a simplistic way of saying it, but yeah. Colourful veggies, so spinach, kale, broccoli and carrots are rich in phenols that protect brain cells. I do like that. Remember, with all this sort of stuff, if you can, get good quality, locally made, organic, in season. If we could all just try and stop buying the cheapest stuff possible, most of us, not everyone, but most of us could probably do with eating less, to be honest. So this idea, oh, that's more expensive. Well, one thing I've done is I just don't eat as much. And then I can afford the organic stuff because I'm not continuously feeling like I need to eat every couple of hours. Berries. So I have mentioned this. So it protects mental and movement functions. Blueberries have the strongest evidence so far. Some great evidence in relation to Parkinson's and dementia, which are really debilitating cognitive dysfunction disorders, and berries, blueberries, but then try not to think about it. Oh, it's a specific chemical. The nutrient availability, the nutritional availability, the way that digests, this is why whole food. So like, rather than taking a vitamin C supplement, try and find foods with vitamin C in it, or you can't really get vitamin D. It's mostly the sun. Vitamin D is very important. Check out the research in relation to a certain respiratory condition and how having good quality or good levels of vitamin D are really important to your resilience. So we're not about curing things, it's about being resilient. It doesn't have to be the golden ticket. It's not one thing's going to fit everything or fix everything. Fatty fish, yes, massively. Now, really important part to be aware of with this, I've actually, talking about fatty fish, so, you know, I'm just reading the screen here, protects the hippocampus and may reduce Alzheimer's risk. I've actually got some salmon fillets downstairs that have been marinating in the fridge. And I didn't used to be the kind of person that would spend time doing this, but, you know, I crushed up some garlic. I got some different types of spices, a bit of organic curry powder. I put in some olive oil, some soy, organic. Bear in mind, try and be always organic with anything you can. I know it's more expensive, but it's not covered in fucking pesticides and shit. Excuse me. I put it in the fridge, salt and pepper, and it's just been sitting there. I'm going to cook that for dinner tonight with some vegetables, and that's good. Yeah, fatty fish is a real, real winner for, you know, the omega-3s, which are really positive for your brain. If you hate fish, you can get fish oil, but again, make sure it's the best quality possible. The cheapest is probably not the best. Beans, lentils, and split peas. So complex carbs allow slow, steady glucose release for brain energy throughout the day. Yeah, to some degree. I mean, I don't want to then, but my bias is that trying to just only fuel your brain on carbs, I don't necessarily agree with that. But, you know, it's all about finding what you like. I'm trying to be dictated to by some idiot with stupid glasses and a mask on. Find your own thing. But again, just don't get dogmatic. I've been there. I've done that. You then step back and think, God, I sound like a fucking idiot. Turmeric. Okay, so curcumin, a compound in turmeric, may reduce beta amyloid proteins found in brains of people with Alzheimer's. So beta amyloid proteins, the amyloid plaques, which is often called, is what was seen as the reason why people got Alzheimer's and dementia. Actually, now it turns out that's a bit of a symptom, because you can imagine they've been trying to find drugs to cure, in inverted commas, you probably can't see me on the screen, but cure these conditions, because it's a that would be a $1 trillion drug market. Again, every ill has a pill, but a lot of the literature about Alzheimer's and dementia is that it's actually due to long-term chronic metabolic dysfunction. So that's why it's being termed in some circles. Again, science has never proven. There's not just one type of science. It should be debate, re-debate, thesis, test, retest, test. Not this one thing has been chosen with vested interests from the Bill Gates Foundation. And now that is the only truth. And if you don't, if you go against that, you are evil. Sounds like fucking dogmatic religion to me, that, doesn't it? You can tell that I've had an interesting couple of weeks with all this stuff. yeah, the amyloid plaques were seen as the reason as to why people get dementia. But as it turns out, they created drugs which got rid of the amyloid plaques and people still had the dementia. So it's more of a symptom rather than a cause. And green tea, one that I drink regularly, contains antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, which may lower dementia risk and improve cognitive function. Also, it's just better to just drink like a green tea or a black tea. There's many reasons why certain Asian cultures have drunk these types of things. I've heard it suggested that more kind of Asian cultures, or the Asia part of Asian continent of the world, that's how they preserved water, because it could be turned into tea and boiled and things like that. And in the West, it was mostly to turn it into alcohol because it would preserve it. So that says a lot, doesn't it? And then walnuts, shown to reduce stroke risk and improve memory and cognition. There's different types of nuts that can be really beneficial. I really like, what is the one that looks like a brain? I'm literally having a brain freeze talking about a nut that looks like the brain. Walnuts, I can't even remember. It looks like a brain. You know the type I'm talking about. They're really good. They're found to be really beneficial for just your brain, just in general, trying to eat things which are whole food. So rather than getting too specifically focused on what is the one thing that I can eat that'll be better, and food is just one part of the equation, like I always bang on about, food and drink choices, sleep quality, not just duration, quality, movement and exercise in any form, from walking to lifting heavy weights to cycling to playing tennis, all these things, try and just move. You know, don't just sit in sit down all day. That's lovely doing that, but the more you sit down, the less energy you're going to have, because the human body's a fucking lazy thing if it wants to be. So get out and move. Get out and, you know, sit. Don't sit. Always sit at your desk. Get a stand-up desk. If you can sit, I don't know if you can see I never know if the video can be shown, but I'm sitting on a exercise ball. I don't actually have a chair at my desk because I want to be constantly moving just a little bit. Have little breaks. Get up. Walk. All this stuff. Okay. So that's this one. So, and then also this hippocampus bit. So it's the hippocampus is most involved in these food to brain connections. Now the hippocampus is often cited as the part of the brain. There's many parts of the brain, and it is the most complex thing. So it's not like this is the one part of the brain that does this, but the hippocampus is mostly identified as being in relation to memory. Now, a lot of the research about you can grow new brain cells and exercise, because that's the other thing, is exercise and movement is now being seen as generating new neurons and synapses. So neurons are the brain cells, or types of brain cells. You've also got glial cells, but that's a whole other conversation that I would then just geek out about. But anyway, neurons and synapses. So neurons are the brain cells, and the synapses are the connections between those. So what it needs to wire it all together, if you could imagine. And neurogenesis, so neuron genesis, so creation of new neurons, was often seen as that can't happen. Now, again, there's debate. This is science. This is the way that science works. It's a debate. But it's been found or identified that potentially you might be able to create new brain cells, so neurogenesis, from exercise in the hippocampus. But again, that might be disproven. But again, this is what we're talking about. To think that science is all worked out and science is done. The science is never done. That's not how science works. It's not a let's test and then we're done. It's like it just keeps going. It keeps moving. And realizing that is really important, because we can get on our high horses and look, this one news story says this. Please don't base your scientific understanding and knowledge on a news story. They're normally bullshit. And the quality of journalism has got less and less and less and less and less and less in recent times. So just be aware of that. All right. So that's that. Got a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted to go through this. So this is the public health collaboration. I know I'm banging on about food, but it's so important. Like this is the number one thing that we need to all get a bit better at, not only for our health now, but in the long term, and also the fucking planet, man. Because this plant-based, I'm not hating on veganism, but this plant-based industrially processed food system, that is gonna fuck us. You cannot have the entire world running on an industrialized food system. The Impossible Burger or fucking Beyond Burger or whatever, that's died a death because of all these claims about it's healthier. It's full of shit. It's full of processed shit. It's better for the environment. The actual industrial process involved is so energy and resource consuming. And also the price is ridiculously high. And to think that if you're in a very well-to-do area and you're being environmentally friendly, I applaud you for trying to do that. But get your head out your fucking ass. Not everyone can afford a fucking ridiculously expensive, artificially created burger. But really? Is that what we're trying to do here? Are we just forgetting thousands of years of human evolution and believing what industrialized food companies are telling us and selling us? And this panic, this idea that you don't know what's best for you. We do. Bill Gates will tell you. I've banged on about Bill Gates, but that's a very good example. Like I said, he looks like shit. And it's not just what someone looks like is their knowledge. But come on, let's think about this. Let's think about history. Like the food system didn't start 20 years ago. The food system has been... Anyway, I could just bang on about this. But anyway, a couple of minutes left. All right, so there is... So what do real food meals look like? So if you have a look there, you know, one on the left is a yogurt, some fruit, maybe a tea or a coffee there. And then what I would probably have in the middle, like fried eggs, bacon, some butter, a black coffee. I think it's tomatoes, probably wouldn't have that. And then on the right, you've got like some milk, some butter, some avocado, some eggs, a bit of cheese, right? So notice very low carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are not necessarily an essential nutrient for humans. People like to argue about that, but yeah. Lunch on the left, you've got a delicious looking sushi. I'd really, really like to get better at making my own sushi. I just want to find good quality fish, because that's the other thing. If you're eating fish, try not to buy cheap fish, because that's often done in a wild caught fish is the key. Like we need to stop these industrial like fish farms. It's gross. Lunch there. I think there's some like that's a salad, some olive oil, maybe some nuts, black beans, maybe water. I didn't notice that. And then on the right, like I think there's some grapes, some nuts, celery, carrots, that type of thing. Again, water. And then in the evening, you know, it's about, you know, we're looking at some chicken, some fish, a bit of steak. You know, we don't have to be like, it's meat or nothing, but organic, good quality, not shitty processed. This is keto. This is a keto snack. One of the other things is if we then step back from this, is that frequent eating was not how we evolved. Now, people may debate that. People may debate that we evolved in a different way, but we would spend days, if not weeks, with very little to no food. And our bodies are very, very good at adapting to that. But unfortunately, we've been fooled into this idea that breakfast is so important. You know, the term breakfast, break fast. So fasting is now seen as this super cool, amazing thing. 5 or 10 years ago, and I'm happy to admit this, I thought that fasting would literally just make your muscles fall off or your body eat itself. But it does eat itself, but it needs to do that. It needs to recycle its own cells, scar tissue, dysfunctional proteins and DNA. It needs to have that time to recuperate. And if you're constantly needing to eat. So for example, what's the time now? It's 12 o'clock. I haven't eaten anything today. I had some black coffee and some LMNT electrolytes, which has sodium, potassium, magnesium in it. My stomach started to feel a little bit rumbly, but I might not eat until I'll probably try and go another hour or so. Some days I'd only eat one meal a day. That took me a long time to get there, but it makes, again, it's not all about calories, but it makes not consuming, over consuming calories a lot better, a lot easier, because yeah, you can eat. If you eat two meals a day, you're just gonna, unless you eat huge meals or just go and go wild. Oh, I haven't eaten all day, so I'm gonna eat 9 pizzas. But again, it's not necessarily about just what you eat, but also it's when you eat. So trying to eat within daylight, not trying to eat too late at night, not be snacking all the way through the day, not be eating your dinner at 11 p.m. or getting up in the middle of the night and eating ice cream. You know, I'm not saying I've never done that sort of thing, but just trying to think of like, how can you improve your sleep? How can you improve your movement? How can you improve your food choices gradually, slowly but surely? Tiny habits. Check out BJ Fogg's concept of tiny habits. So this has been a live, not really a Q&A, but hopefully this is going to be helpful. I know a lot of these subjects are the same things that I've talked about a number of times, but I think if we just hear it again and again and again, and this idea that there's no one size fits all, there's no simple solution. It takes time, it takes empathy, it finds a common ground. We need to find a common ground because we've been so divided for a long time now, and I just feel like it's just getting worse and worse. So hopefully this has been helpful. There'll be one more of these. I think this is like a video information, and have a good weekend. That's episode 91, done and dusted. As I was saying a number of times, the Patreon didn't actually work out how I wanted it to, but it's meant that I can then reuse this content to spread more information to everybody else. So, as I said at the beginning, check us out on Instagram, Toy Division 2. That is Toy Division 2 on Instagram. And if you've enjoyed this episode, if you found something beneficial about it, or want to just spread the word about Toy Division, share it with mates, screenshot it, send it to a friend, give a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts, a rating in Spotify. It takes like a minute, less than that, to actually do that, and it means more people will listen to it. Anyway, see you in a couple of weeks for episode 92. Peace out, Toy Division.